Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach's Sunday celebration service, given by our special speaker, Pastor Josh Ortega. This message was recorded on June 5th, 2016, and is entitled, Do the Do.
Being on vacation, we did miss being here, but while we're on vacation, it was interesting. This year was a little different than our vacation. If some of you did not know, my wife Allison, Pastor Allison, the children's pastor, is actually pregnant, and she's... Yay! Yeah. Give me a clap for that. She's about 17 weeks pregnant right now, and so it's a fun time in our lives, but that did make our vacation a little different because we normally go up to the mountains, and before she got pregnant, we were planning on like going ski-doing and like zip-lining and all the stuff that they have up there. Can't do that now. So it's just interesting how we had to kind of shift our plans a bit, and one of those planned shifts was me drinking coffee. Because if you did not know me too well before, you'll know that I'm not a huge coffee drinker. In fact, I pretty much never do. When we're around the office, Pastor Paul always has a 2 o'clock cup of coffee. And every day he says, hey, Josh, want to have some coffee? And I'm like, no, thanks, Pastor Paul, I'm good. And so, of course, when he found out that I was going to start drinking coffee over the break, because, you know, I got to start preparing myself physically and mentally for, you know, waking up at late at night for the kids and stuff like that. And so I, you know, got to drink coffee because it's, unfortunately, though, it makes me sleepy. It doesn't wake me up, which is weird. I guess I'm just weird that way. But, you know, when drinking coffee and stuff, and I'm starting to drink coffee a little bit here and there, and I'm getting used to it, and so it's all fun for me right now, I guess. I'm just not a huge coffee drinker, so it's a battle for me. But it's just funny how coffee is one of those things that bring people together. And it really was. For us on our vacation, that Allison got so excited, and we got to talk, and we sat in there in the coffee shop, and we talk about stuff, and just over a cup of coffee. And that just seems to be one of those things that brings people together. And of course, for me, before I drink coffee, I drink soda. Any soda drinkers in the house? And that's where I would get my caffeine. So like whenever I get tired, Allison, like, you want some coffee? I'm like, no, I'll have some soda. And that's the thing is, for me and my family, and her family, it's coffee. They all the sisters, there's 4 of them, and then their mom, they all drink coffee. Dad doesn't really drink coffee, so I guess I related to him. And I was inserted into the family a lot easier because I could relate to him a little bit more. And so they would all drink coffee as a communal thing for them. And for me, it wasn't. For me, it was soda growing up. And for me, especially, I can always remember, we go to Bob's Big Boy. Everyone fan of Bob's Big Boy here? Bob's Big Boy in Toluca Lake / Burbank is the one that we would go to. Because that was the one that my dad went to when he was in high school. And we'd go sit at the same exact spot. And we all, my brother, my sister, my mom, my dad, anyone else who was with us, we'd all order a Super Big Boy combo with fries and side salad with blue cheese, best blue cheese dressing ever, and a Coke, a cherry Coke. And back then, when I was a kid, they don't do this now. They give you a Coke, Coca-Cola, and they squirt syrup in it, cherry syrup, and then put cherries in it, and then you stir it around, and it was the best tasting thing on earth. And so that was that thing that we'd always get to do, is always that thing when we were growing up that we would get a reward. It was our reward for being good. So when my dad was growing up, it was the same thing. When he was young, in the 50s and 60s, you know, his mom, my grandma, didn't have a lot of money. And so that was their reward, was RC Cola. RC Cola is, you know, it's not the best. I'm a Coke guy, and I like Coca-Cola. And so, but RC was that. And when I was growing up, whenever he'd bring home RC home, I'd be like, oh, man, we get to have RC. This is a treat. Of course, it's really not, maybe in retrospect. But for me and my brother and my sisters, it was. It was that treat that we got, because for him, when he was a kid, that's what it was. It was a big deal when someone brought something home that you weren't used to getting. That's something that was a blessing to you, or kind of like something you get excited about. And so I'm going to reach in here real quick. No, I'm not getting the holy mackerel, although it'd be fun to pull that out now. But I have this little bottle of Mountain Dew here. No, it's not RC and it's not Coca-Cola. You'll know why I chose this later. But of course, you have certain features about this soda, you know, that get people excited, right? You know, you walk in and someone, Fred, my man back there, loves Mountain Dew. So he's pretty excited right now, I bet, and that I'm using this. But you see Mountain Dew, you think, oh man, that looks good, tastes good, it's refreshing, right? It's got this aspect about it. You have, you know, its design, you have its formula, It's not like they did this formula overnight. They took some time to make sure, because, you know, Coca-Cola, they don't want it to taste like Coca-Cola. They want it to taste something different. You have the label, its name, its image. They have advertisements that they bring out, right, that build up its name, that strengthens its name to make you say, oh, I want some of that, right? You know, you go to the movies, let's all go to the lobby, let's all, you know, that whole thing, that's advertisement. That's to get you to say, I want some Mountain Dew, I want some popcorn or something like that. That's what that's for. And then, of course, you know, it gets shipped out. You know, it goes everywhere, everyone drinks it. It's, you know, something that we all get a chance to partake of. And, of course, and I'm going to open it, see if it doesn't go all over the place. Ooh, sounds good, right? Everyone likes that sound. And everyone do that after they take a sip? That refreshing reaction that you have. By the way, when my dad would drink Coke, every single time he takes a sip, doesn't matter if he does it a million times, he does that reaction every single time. My dad. And so that's its reward. You know, it's refreshing. We like the taste. And of course, the company gets money out of it too, right? So, I mean, there's dual reward for it. The thing is when we think of ourselves, we think of us, we think of those four things. You think of when God has called you to do something. God calls every single one of us. He does. We all are an important people in this body of Christ that we call church. Big or small, it's all important. It's all equal. But someone has to do it. And of course, some of us may not know what that is yet. Some of us do. But if you don't, or if you need a reminder, it's always good to have a reminder. There's ways that we can get started or get refreshed on what God has called us to do. It's one, some things that we can know. God has designed you. He has strengthened you. He calls you out. And of course, he rewards you, and through you, rewards and blesses others. And that's why this message is entitled, Do the Dew. Of course, Mountain Dew. That's how we get that. Now you know why I chose Mountain Dew. Do the Dew. How to start God's calling for you. And if you're Sean McPhee, you can turn that into a rap. No one knows what that means. Then the worship team will get that joke. Basically, one time at worship practice, just to tell a quick story, we were just having fun playing Good Good Father. We all love that song. And of course, Eli is on guitar, Elisha James, and he, in his infinite knowledge of guitar, will start playing random riffs, just, and then we'll all get in on it. The riff he was playing was a riff from a song called Lose Yourself, secular song, but he was just playing it. And of course, Sean, like everybody else on the worship team, gets in on it and starts rapping Good Good Father to the riff. And I'm not going to reenact it because it would be incredibly embarrassing, but just know that we have fun at worship practice and that we are worshiping God even when we're playing Lose Yourself by Eminem. So we change the lyrics to make it glorifying God. Amen? But again, we're going to start in Psalm 139, 13 through 15. If you want to open your Bibles there. If you do not have a Bible or you do not have a bulletin to follow along with the outline, go ahead and raise your hand. We have ushers that are going to be here in order to hand those out. So just raise your hand just like this and they'll get it for you. One right up here. As you turn there, Psalm 139, 13 through 15. Excuse me. The first point that we're going to have here is know how God has made you. And we're going to see here in Psalm 139 exactly how that is. Starting in verse 13, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, you have a recipe. Just like any product, any soda like we are just made reference to with the Mountain Dew, you have a recipe. And when I was 13 years old, I took a trip with our family, went out to Ohio. It's where my mom is from and where all of her family is. And of course, we're going on this road trip, and one of the places we stop is a basket weaving expo. Yay. I'm 13 years old. I'm thinking, what the heck am I doing here? Why are we stopping here? If my parents, my grandparents and my mom are super crafty. They love wood. They can make anything out of wood. They're those kind of people. They're very crafty. My mom, very crafty. My grandfather built a gazebo in his backyard in Ohio, you know, two-decker all by himself with my grandmother's help. It was amazing. I remember when it was finished, and it was just this great, crazy-looking gazebo, all intricate and stuff. And when I'm thinking about why I was there, and I'm looking back and I'm reading this scripture, Psalm 139, and I'm like, that's the story, that's the thing, that my life experience that came back straight to my head, and I knew. Okay, so I'm thinking back then, why am I here? Why am I at a basket weaving expo? And they have baskets that are small, stacks of them, big ones, stacks of them, you know, and they had these training things you could learn how to weave and all the different materials that they use from all the different cultures, how they design them, right? And I'm thinking of this scripture, I'm thinking, that's why I went there. So many odd years later, I'm almost 30 now, and I was 13 back then, so I'm thinking, how did it take me this long to realize why I was there? I was there because I saw how intricate, how detailed these baskets were. Some of them have all these different materials and all these colors that are in this design to make it unique. And that's you guys. That's all of us. We are all woven. It says there, verse 13, knit, the word woven in verse 15. God has carefully created you uniquely, knitted and woven to be exactly the way you are. And of course, when God made you, he made you with his plan in mind. That's point B. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, For we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus Christ to do good works, for which God prepared us in advance to do. In advance. We know the scripture in Jeremiah where it says that God made us in his womb. He knew us in our mother's womb before we were on this earth, that God knew us. It's the same idea here that Paul writes in Ephesians. It's the idea of handiwork, woven, knitted. God is active. If there's anything that I want you to take away from this message, God is active in your life. Amen? God does not quit on you. He does not quit. You may think he quits. You may think, where is God right now? He's there. And God's handiwork is there. He knit it in advance to do good works. God made you to do things. He made you to do things. Some people are good with their hands. Can craft things, just like my grandfather can. People like me, I'm good behind the scenes. I'm good organizationally. God used me for that. That was a strength of mine. I can't sing, as you can see. I never sing. So God didn't use me for that. But those are strengths and weaknesses that God has put you in for a purpose, for a reason. And God knew that before you were born. He knew, he called you. You do that. God has made you. When someone takes something like Mountain Dew, they don't just, cartoons where a scientist is just starting to dump like ingredients and then it blows up in his face and it's like his hair goes back and he's all like got charcoal over his face and stuff like that? Because that's what the chemicals will do, right, David? They'll just blow up in your face and you'll be totally fine. Because that's how it really works. But the idea is it's not just like God just tossing stuff in haphazardly. He's doing it on purpose for a reason, for you to do things. The next thing that we need to know when we start God's calling for us is how God has strengthened you. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians 3:18 for this part. When God strengthens you, it builds his image. When he builds you, he builds his image. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." So the Spirit is in you when you accept Jesus Christ. We know from Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2 that the Spirit is God's advocate for us. that when Jesus died and rose again and ascended to heaven, then the Spirit came on this earth as our advocate. Because we don't have Jesus with us here on this earth right now in the flesh. We don't have God in the flesh on this earth anymore. But we have his Spirit that lives within us. And as the scripture says, that we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. Ever-increasing. Well, what does that mean? Ever-increasing means the same thing we've been talking about in Psalms 139. A continual work in your life. That when God, you may not know it, but when God and you, when you believe, when God is there, he is working on you. He doesn't quit. I'm going to say it again. God does not quit on you. God is always working on us. He transforms us into his image every single day. Now, we are made in his image in a spiritual way. That's what Genesis is talking about when he says that we are made in his image. It says that we are made in his image in a spiritual, emotional sense. And what Paul is writing is exactly that, that we are made in his image. But because we are sinful, it has separated us from God. But God's Spirit continues to work us back to that glory that we once had as human beings before sin was on this earth. And it is the Spirit who does that. God's handiwork builds us up. It's God doing it himself. Philippians 4:13 is where we're going next. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is a statement, which is point B. God's strength builds your confidence. This is a statement that Paul writes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you didn't know, when Paul wrote this, he was not in a good position. He wasn't. He was in jail. Part of what we call the prison epistles. And at that time, he was going through a lot of persecution. Pretty much knew he was going to die when he was writing these letters to these churches. And he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is a statement of confidence in God and himself, that because God is with him, he can do anything. Can do. You guys all remember the, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. Has everyone ever done that before? I've done that before, where you're doing something and you got to motivate yourself. So you go, I think I can, I think I can. Well, based off of this statement here, it's not I think, it's I know. I can. It is a statement. It is a fact. It is not, well, maybe I think I can. Because when you say I think, there's some doubt there. You got to say, I know I can, I know I can, I know I can. God is using you in this sense. When he builds confidence in you, that emulates to other people. Amen? That people will see that in you. And that is God's moving his kingdom. And of course, we know that point three, which is know how God has called you out. That, again, with any product, whether it's Mountain Dew or anything, you ship it out. You want to get your name out. You want to get your brand out. You want to have other people be able to have it. So Mountain Dew or coffee, is it just here in Huntington Beach? No. Do we just drink Mountain Dew in California? No. What about the United States? No. It's everywhere. Mountain Dew's everywhere. A lot of products, when they can, they go out everywhere. They got to build themselves up, right? Level by level, ever-increasing glory, right? They got to build themselves up. And once they are built up, they send out. So here's a good example. In-N-Out. In-N-Out just originated in Southern California. Then it went to Northern California. And then it went, now I think it's in Arizona. It's in Oregon now. It continues to grow and grow. And hopefully one day, hopefully, because that'd be great if we went on a mission trip and they had In-N-Out in Africa, right? Yes! Or in South America, that'd be awesome. But it's the idea, isn't it? You don't just go and you don't just jump out, right? And say, well, I want this, so I'm just going to throw it out there and see how it does. No, you build it up. And the thing is that when we go out, we want to go out too. We want to go to other countries, but we can't forget here. Right? Mountain Dew may go to other countries, but it's still here in Huntington Beach. Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It says all nations. that we want to think, oh, there's a good ploy to go out and do a missions trip, and that's great. We want to do that. But don't forget our neighbors. We're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves, right? Just as God loves them. We got to remember, too, that when we're baptizing and making disciples, that's not just maybe someday in the future. That's when we walk around every day. Like I mentioned, when people see that in us, when people see God in us, you never know. That could affect someone in a way that can make a disciple. They say, I want to, what's that guy have? What's that lady have that I don't have? Well, they have Jesus. Well, I want that too. I want Jesus too. You never know. You don't know what that's doing. And that's what we mean when we say that every single day. We're not saying that you have to literally pull someone aside and say, I'm going to disciple you. You could do that. That'd be fun. But that's not exactly what it's saying. But when we go out and we do things, when we ship things out, like I said earlier, you got to know when the right time is. That's point B. Psalm 27:14 says, wait for the Lord and be strong, and let your heart take courage and wait for the Lord. David, when he wrote that psalm, was asking God to teach him previously in the previous verses to protect him and to hear him. He was asking God to train him, to bring him to his glory ever increasingly. Common theme you can see here, that God will just continue, especially if you ask him, he'll work on you. But you got to wait for the right time. Because like I said earlier, if you just ship out right when you start, it may not work out so well. You got to let God build you up. So the next thing that we need to know is that God will bless you and others. So remember when I took that sip of Mount Dew, I went, that's that instantaneous reward. It is when we do what God has asked us to do, we get that instantaneous reward and that revelation that the Spirit is in us and that is doing a good work. You guys ever done something good for someone and you see the smile on their face and that just brings you joy? That's what that is. That is that reaction. That is that feeling that you get from the Holy Spirit as a reward. May not seem like much, but trust me, I can attest to you. When you do that, when you get that feeling, it is the best feeling. One of the best feelings you will ever have when you help someone. When you do something good for someone. And we know that when we are working through God's Spirit, that not only does it reward them, we get a reward as well. Colossians 3:23-24 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So we got to remember, we're not serving people, in a sense. We're serving God, right? And the beauty of this is that we are rewarded with this inheritance from God. What we get from God is not in return for something. We shouldn't be doing something because we get something in return. But the great thing is that we do. You have that knowledge knowing that I get a reward. And you are rewarded when you do. And of course, as I said earlier, by serving the Lord, you bless people. They see God for who he is through you. And when you get that reward and you have that spiritual covering on you, when you're rewarded and when you have the Spirit that is in you, that is emulating throughout your body and radiating, like I said earlier, they're going to see that and say, what does that person have that I don't have? I was at this, Light Pacific College one time. This was back when I was a student. And I was just meeting outside the president's office on the campus. And excuse me for one second. There we go. That's water. I don't get that from water. Except for maybe if I'm just dying of thirst. But we were there, and I was just talking with some friends, and Carol Shelton, who used to be a fine arts director at the school, she just, very godly woman, just sees God in everything. I mean, everything. And that's her gifting. She just walks up to me, interrupts the conversation, and says, you've spent time with God today, haven't you? What are you talking about? How do you know? I could see it on your face. You spent time with God today, didn't you? I was like, I did. He's like, well, you are radiating with God's glory. And I was like, how weird is that? But it's true, though, isn't it? When you spend time with God, you let the Holy Spirit come over you. That's what's going to happen. You're going to radiate with God's glory, just like Moses did when he met God on Mount Sinai. That's going to happen to you. And you're just going to feel blessed. You're going to feel joy in your heart. When we think of what God has called us to do, we think, well, maybe I'm not good enough. Felt that before. Maybe we think, how could God use that? I've felt that before. You may know what God has called you to do. You may not. That's okay. Not everyone knows. And sometimes that calling changes in different seasons of life. You may learn something different. You may get a new skill, and God may use that. You may be in a different place in your life, and God will use that for His good. We know that God uses everything for His glory. The great thing is that we have a God that loves us to guide us through all aspects of life. We have a God who never quits on us. We have a God who has made us, who strengthens us, He calls us, and He blesses us. So if you're not sure, like, what am I doing here? I'm at church, I come every week, I come to church, I go to mini church, whatever it may be, and you're just thinking, where am I supposed to be? What has God called me to do? Where am I supposed to go? We have people here to pray for you. And if you're one of those people, one of those prayer couples, you can come forward. We're going to have some prayer for you at the end of service. But we're going to sing a song right now. And during that time, wait on the Lord. Listen. That's all you have to do. God speaks to you. It took me a long time in my life to realize how God spoke to me. But once I did, it's the greatest feeling to know that that God, this creator of this world, this magnificent, powerful, authoritative being, wants to talk to me. And He wants to talk to you. He wants to know you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He's got to listen. Took me a long time to learn how to shut up and listen. But I did. And trust me, it's the reason why I'm here today. It's because I understood who God made me to be. And didn't stop Him from using me. Just said, yes, I'll go. I'll do. So let's worship to this song. And let's listen for the Lord. And if you need prayer, come forward during worship. Get prayer. Prayer is a powerful thing. Prayer is one of those ways that God can talk to us. Lord, we just thank You for this time, Lord. Bless our prayer time. Lord, bless this time of worship, Lord. Continue to speak to us, Lord. Speak to us. Show us Your way. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.